and we've been working on the concept of spiritual growth this month. There is one aspect of spiritual growth that we've not talked about actually debated somewhat over the past couple of weeks to address it this morning. But given the reading this evening, I thought, well, maybe the reading will cover it probably not as sufficiently as I would like, but to some extent, the reason we chose this reading in connection with this subject is because of this element. One of the areas of spiritual growth that we've not talked about is the fact that very often our faith anyway, our trust in God and the qualities that grow out of that, which we talked about a little bit this morning, is really augmented or amplified or increased as we deal with difficulty. And I don't know a family in this congregation anyway that has not probably in fairly recent times, and some of you right now, have just dealt with the injustices and the difficulties, the frustrations, the disappointments, the griefs of life. I do think one of the appeals of Christianity is that it offers us some perspective in life that allows us to deal with the ups and downs, especially the downs, and to still live with some measure of joy. And the reality is, Paul addresses this in Romans chapter 5. James addresses it in the first chapter of James. And Peter, to a lesser degree, specifically, but nonetheless, the part of the theme is that as we deal with life's frustrations, life's hardships, Peter addresses it under the term in chapter 1 and in verse 6, that we've been grieved by various trials. As we deal with those things, Paul says that that works patience, and patience produces character, and character helps us in regards to our hope. James's comment is that the trying of our faith in God is what works patience, and that our perfection, our maturity, our growth in regards to trusting God comes as a result of dealing with those experiences. And Peter's going to address that as well as he talks about our faith being tried like gold is tried in fire. In fact, one of the things that Peter addresses regularly in this letter is the difficulties that come from Christianity. We're not exactly sure when or where Peter wrote this letter. The common thinking is that it was probably in the mid to late 60s. And if you were in the Timothy class this morning, we made some observations about the what was going on in the world for Christians around the time of Nero's burning of Rome, and then the years immediately thereafter when Rome came and destroyed Jerusalem, and the persecutions that tended to start developing after that period of time. If tradition is right, then Peter is writing, you'll notice in the first couple of verses, to people essentially in Asia Minor, which was a center of persecution, as you see in Revelation. And that Peter was writing to them about the time that life for a Christian might have been becoming harder. They might not necessarily be dealing with intense physical persecution yet, but that possibility is clearly on the horizon. And you see that reflected over and over in the things that Peter says. And given that, enduring such things helps us to grow in our faith towards God, and hopefully as a result of that, in our love, in our character, in these other areas. This is a letter that is encouraging people to grow spiritually. In fact, were we to read both epistles, and I'm not going to take the time to do it tonight, but the last thing Peter says in 2 Peter is to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the admonitions that Peter is making here are admonitions about trust in the face of adversity. And they are rooted in the concept of identity. He starts off by talking about we are fathered by God. And this idea of being the children of God is what everything that he says in this letter grows out of. And so as you read those things, see those themes that run through there and appreciate that this is very practical in regards to a group of people who are trying to make progress spiritually. That's why Peter is writing this letter. And I think he's writing it in a circumstance that's not unlike ours or not unlike where ours is going. Folks, we are different, and we are more and more different as the culture becomes less and less godly. And if you're not seeing that, then you're blind to what's happening around us. And so the things that are written to Christians in the first century are more and more applicable to us in this day and age. And so with all those thoughts in mind, let's give our attention to the letter that Peter writes. Just one other side note. If you turn to the last chapter, I mentioned not knowing when exactly or where. Peter mentions in chapter 5 and verse 13 that the Christians, the church in Babylon, greets these folks to whom he is writing. And there is an interesting debate as to exactly what that means. Some people think that that Peter's in Rome when he writes this, and he's referring to Babylon, referring to Rome under the term of Babylon. You do see that in Revelation. This would be a little early for that. Others think that literally he is in the ancient city of Babylon. We can't know for sure. Here's the interesting sidelight. So far as I know, and I may be wrong, and I'm sure I'll be corrected if I am, the only biblical reference that we have to even the possibility that Peter was ever in the city of Rome is in that statement right there. And it is assumed by many people that he's using Babylon as a code name for Rome. So if you know, when you hear the argument, well, we all know that Peter lived and died in Rome, there's no biblical evidence of that whatsoever. That's all rooted in tradition and not in any kind of biblical reference. And that reference comes from this letter. So with those thoughts in mind, let's give our attention to the letter written by the Apostle Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which have now been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, "You be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Indeed, he was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last days for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again not of corruptible seed but incorruptible through the Word of God which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls away, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the Word which by the gospel was preached to you. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy and envy and evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience towards God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile again. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your outward adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel, but rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Likewise, husbands, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? Even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but set the Lord God apart in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who's gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we've spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness and lusts, drunkenness and revelries, drinking parties and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. And for this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you also may be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he's blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins first with us, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now if the righteous is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, neither as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I've written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, greets you, as does Mark my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. You know, I can't read these letters, especially reading them straight through like that, where we're not stopping and discussing things. If you just read them the way they were intended to be written, it is hard for me to do that and not imagine what that must have been like for the people receiving those letters. Here's a group of folks like us, maybe not some big old group, some small group of people trying to stand up for what is right in the world. And clearly in this case, they're dealing with some opposition and the possibility of serious opposition. It's hard for me to imagine what it would be like to walk out of here and know that we're facing physical persecution just because of what our convictions are. But that's what they were facing. And what an encouragement it must have been to them to get a letter from one of the men who walked with the Lord. And what he's telling them is, you got to keep on. And even if it hurts, you have to remember the joy that's in front of you. And I watched the Lord go through that, and I saw him suffer for the joy in front of him. And that's our example, to keep on being godly. That's what we're supposed to be doing, folks, is to keep on being godly, because that's what our Lord did, no matter what happens all around us. Let's make sure we're growing and serving and being faithful, and God will do his part. Thanks for your attention tonight. If you're subject to the invitation, we invite your response while we stand and sing.